Last week we began talking about the DNA of Christ. Somebody say DNA. DNA. Deoxyribonucleic acid. And we talked about the fact that every single one of us have DNA. We're born with DNA. DNA is the blueprint God put within every living thing that determines who it will become and who it is. It is a set of instructions. It is a code that determined how you'd look, the color of your eyes, the color of your hair, your height, your stature, your build. Everything about who you are was written into your DNA. And so DNA determines how we will look. And I talked to you last week about 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, one of my favorite passages that says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Somebody say, I'm brand new. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And one of the realities we embraced last week was the realization that the DNA of Jesus himself is in every born-again believer. I now have the spiritual DNA of Jesus himself. And that's exciting to me because DNA is the roadmap. It's the blueprint. It tells me what I'm going to become. So if I have the DNA of Christ, then I already know what I'm in the process of becoming. It means that he is what I can be. Somebody say, he is what I can be. God didn't save you to just live for Jesus. He saved you to live like Jesus. He put you on this earth to walk in the footsteps of Christ and be that mirror image of the reflection of the Father to those around you. And so we kind of broke it down last week and understood that DNA sends a message. That message is used to produce energy, and the energy is releasing life throughout the body. So there is a message that produces energy, releasing life throughout your body. Well, how many of you know we carry a message? And it's producing energy in us and releasing life in the body of Christ. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came as the Savior of man. When we couldn't get to God because of our sin, God came to us. He was fully God and fully man. He was born of a Virgin Mary 2,000 years ago. He lived 33 and a half years on this earth, yet he never once sinned. He went to the cross of Calvary and died for crimes you and I committed. His sinless life was traded in exchange for our sin. In full life, and there he became the sacrifice and substitute that God accepted for anyone who puts their faith in the work Jesus did, not in their own work, that person would be made righteous, placed in right standing with him, and be blessed because of what Jesus has done for us. 3 days later, we believe that same Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, and a few days later ascended to the Father's right hand, where he is seated in victory today, and he is praying for you. Now, I don't know about you, but that ought to make you smile, and that's the gospel. That's the good news, that people like us, ordinary people, can live extraordinary lives. Sinful people can become sinless people by the blood of Jesus Christ. People who are unrighteous can be placed in right standing with God, and he does not look at you as a forgiven sinner. He sees you just as if you had never sinned. The blessing of God, you don't have to earn it. You can't try to buy it by the things you do right, but you are now blessed because of what Jesus has done for you, and in return, it produces right living on the inside of you. Can you give God thanks for the gospel in a nutshell? It's that simple. And so it transforms us. And there is greatness in every one of you because Jesus is living in you if you've been born again. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That means there is greatness on the inside of me. Somebody say there is greatness within. You have the DNA of Jesus if you've been born again. Now, one of the most paralyzing lies is believing that my life will not make a difference. My life doesn't count. I can't make a difference. My life is too small. And that's exactly where Satan wants to keep us. He wants us bound with those type of thoughts. Small-mindedness, small thinking, small dreams, small vision, putting God in a box, believing in a small God. That's why I love coming here, because we preach God's word. And when you believe what that book says, you see a God who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above and beyond everything you could ask or even begin to imagine in your wildest dreams. You see a God that is limitless. And so here's what you've got to understand. We don't blame other people for our lives, yet there's a temptation to do that. Winston Churchill said it like this: the price of greatness is responsibility. Believers are those who take responsibility for the outcome of their lives. That's what Jesus taught us to do. Life is not always going to be fair. Get over it. I'm not mad at you. I love you. But am I telling the truth? Everything's not going to go the way you thought it should. People aren't always going to treat you the way you thought they should have treated you. Jesus teaches us that in spite of those things, we have the power to rise above it and live in victory. Victims believe that life is unfair and that what they're currently experiencing is the result of decisions other people have made. That's a victim mentality. The life I'm living today is not my fault. It is a result of something somebody else did to me. Well, you have just handed them your power. Victims see problems. Believers see solutions. Are there any believers in the house today? Amen. Victims make excuses, but believers get results. Victims say, I've tried everything. Believers say, there's got to be another way. Victims wait for their ship to come in, but believers, like Noah, build their ships and take them out to sea. Victims say, I'm frightened because of so much change around me. But believers say, I'm inspired by the changes. I serve a God of new things, and I'm excited to see what's waiting right around the corner. Amen. Come on, give him praise. Don't let me get in your way. Victims cry out, why me? But believers shout, it's up to me. Are you a victim or are you a believer? See, we've got to shake ourselves free from this mindset that says, I'm in the position I am because of what somebody else has done. And what we do is, if somebody else puts you there, then you look for somebody else to get you out. But the reality is, people are not your solution, God is. And if you get your eyes on God, you can get out of anything. This poor man cried out to the Lord, David said, and he delivered him from all his troubles. So becoming a child of God is instantaneous. The moment you confess Jesus as Lord, you're a child of God. But living in victory is a process. Now, last week, we talked about the instantaneous deposit of God's DNA in us. This week, I want to talk to you about the process. Because some of you say, man, I got saved and all hell's breaking loose. And I don't feel like life's any better. Sometimes it gets tough. Well, here, that's just an indicator you're doing things right. You now got a target on you. You have an enemy, the adversary. When you was on his team, he ain't coming after you. But now that you're on the winning side, he's a little jealous. But I got news for him, and I got good news for you. The Bible says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The Bible says the greater one lives on the inside of you. The Bible says you don't have the spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. The Bible says that Jesus gave you all authority over the power of Satan, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So you can look that demon in the eye and say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to back off and back down and get out. See, victory in Christ is available, but it's not automatic. You have an active part to play. Becoming a child of God is instantaneous, but walking in victory is a process. Somebody say process. Now, we don't like process because we like antiques while you wait. We love drive-thrus. I'm to the point where I am sick and tired of eating out altogether. You understand what I'm saying? We want things fast. We want them convenient. That's not the way everything is with God. So I want to show you how to take control of your life. Some very simple process that we need to grasp and lock in. This is one of those mornings that I want you to hang on to what we're talking about, because it's something you need to carry with you every day of your life on this earth. And here's what we're going to say. What I think determines what I believe. What I think determines what I believe. What I believe determines what I say. And what I say determines where I go, my destiny. Destination. Let's do it again. What I think determines what I believe. What I believe determines what I say. And what I say determines where I go. So think, believe, say, go. You say, Josh, how do you know that? Well, I'm going to show you from God's word. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word today. I thank you that it's alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, just like a surgeon's scalpel. It's able to come in and remove delicately what needs to be taken out and bring healing to our lives that makes us whole again. So, Father, we ask today that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would do that. Transform us and make us more like Jesus this day. God, let us discover the divine deposit within. And, Father, we just give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, would you give God praise for what he's about to do? Man, I just want to say hello to Sarah Chatterton. I am so proud of her. Just graduated from Lee with a master's. Is that right? Sarah, would you stand up? Y'all give her a big hallelujah. God bless you. We love you. You moving to LA? I'm so excited for you. Working on all kinds of exciting things. You're my hero. All right, let's begin with your mind. Somebody say my mind. Your mind, what you think. Here it is. I meet people all the time who don't believe they're good enough, don't believe they're valuable, don't believe they measure up. Y'all know anybody like that? It may not be you, but you know somebody on the end of your row like that. Right? They just don't think they'll ever make it. I love what Henry Ford said. He said, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right. Fair enough. Says it pretty good. Here's the reality we've got to embrace. You will never rise above what you think. You'll never rise above what you think. Very important. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9. If you have a Bible, let's go there today. Don't forget about the Victory Now app. You can read your Bible there. It'll also read it to you. And you can give there. You can listen to messages there. You can stay up on events there. We also send you pushes regularly. And for those of you that are a part of VIP, Victory Intercessory Partners, we send you regular updates on things we're praying for together as a church. You'll never rise above what you think of yourself. So we have to find a way to fix that. And here's how we do it. Here's what God says. For as the heavens are higher, somebody point at the ceiling. Somebody say higher. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. So God's ways are higher than ours, right? Does that mean they're elevated above ours? Is that right? Okay. And my thoughts than your thoughts. What's he saying? My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So we have to elevate our thoughts. We have to elevate our thoughts. How do we do that? Well, if you read the very next verse, he tells us, verse 10, for as the rain comes down, as rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Watch. So shall my word be. God compares his word coming down to us when it leaves his lips to rain and snow that come down and water the earth so that it will produce a harvest, giving us something to eat. That's exactly how God's word works. His word comes down to us. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. When you void a check, what happens to it? It's no longer carries any weight. It's no longer backed. It's done. God's words are not that way. God's word is not void. But it shall accomplish that which what I please. His word shall accomplish what he desires. And it shall prosper. Somebody say prosper. Prosper. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So God's thoughts come down to us through his word. Let me say it again. God's thoughts come down to us through his word. We elevate our way of thinking by getting into God's word. Try it again. We elevate our thinking by getting into God's word. God's thoughts come to us through his word. Living God's life begins by thinking God's thoughts. Fair enough? I must get rid of the way I used to think. Christians are not mindless. This is not help, self-help. This is not think it, be it. This is not your favorite poster in math class. This is what the Word of God has to say, okay? Very, very important. It is not mindlessness, but it is a changing the way we think and replacing it with the way God thinks. And that's why we need to spend time in God's Word. Living God's life begins by thinking His thoughts, which tells us that there is life in the Word, Todd. How many of you believe there's life in the Word today? I don't dare ask how many of you read your Bible every single day this week. If we believe there's life in the Word, then why aren't we feeding on it more regularly? Here's how I know. Here's what I'm talking about by elevating your thoughts. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, one of my all-time favorites in the New Living. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. There used to be a way you did things before Jesus. There's a different way of doing things after him. If you're going to live a new life, you got to have a new set of thinking, because your thinking is like a program in a computer that tells it what to do. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person. Let God transform you into a new person. How does he do it? Well, one of the ways is by changing the way you what? So when I was born again, I became a new person, but there's another process involved that as I change the way I think, then I'm transformed. Transformation takes place as I change the way I think. As I begin to think in line with what God's word says, I begin to live in line with what he's promised me. Transformation or lasting change begins with changing the way we think. So we cannot believe beyond our knowledge of God's word. That's very important. In other words, what the Holy Spirit will do in my heart is limited by what I'm willing to put into my head. Well, that was fun. He has to have something to work with. And he works where the word of God is. At the beginning of creation, the Bible says that the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of God hovered upon the face of the deep. We don't know how long the Holy Spirit was hovering there, but we know that he never moved and he never acted and he never transformed anything until God spoke. And he acted on the word. When I put the word in my life, it gives the Holy Spirit something to work with. Your inner image, or the way you see yourself, is everything. That image has got to come from looking into this mirror. This is the only way I can find out who I really am. This is the only way I can find out who God really is. I cannot base what I believe about God or myself or my relationship with God off of what I see, off of what I feel, off of what other people have said. It has got to come from this word. This is the foundation for everything that I will believe. And as I read it, what happens is the Bible paints a picture in your heart of the person that God has created you and called you to be. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, this says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who created us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious what? Promises in the word of God. Here's why. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. In other words, that you may be transformed more like God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So, reading the Bible is like looking into a mirror. A mirror helps me see my image. Now, most of you looked in a mirror today. I can tell which ones of you didn't. But when we look into God's word, it's the same way. When you see somebody acting out, you can tell. They haven't been looking in the mirror. Because the mirror is the great revealer. And it shows me what I look like. And I thank God today that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What God reveals, he heals. Amen? He don't show it to you to beat you up. He shows it to you because he wants to come in and help you in that area. Come on, somebody say, help me, Jesus. So you are who God says you are, not what others say you are. You are more than what you think you are. I like this. You are more than what you think you are, but you will never be more than you think you are. Very important. Why is that? Very simply because your mind is designed to run on pictures. A picture of who you want to be. A picture of the future you want. A picture of the relationship you believe you can have. A picture of what you want to do. A picture of what you can accomplish in your life. You are motivated to become that picture of what you see on the inside. And once your mind locks onto an image, it begins to grow in strength. The Bible talks about it as a stronghold. Brick by brick, one day at a time, one thought at a time, it's built up stronger and stronger and stronger. And it shows up more often in our mind. It shows more often on that screen that plays in our thoughts. And whether consciously or unconsciously, you begin making decisions and moving in the direction that make that picture your reality. So my question is, what is it that you see on the inside, and where did that picture come from? Because what you see is what you can believe, and what you believe is what becomes possible. However, when we have no picture in our mind, we live by default instead of by design. Say that again. When we have no picture within, we live by default instead of by design. And that's where the enemy really devours us. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Proverbs 29:18 bears this out. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. The word there for revelation is literally prophetic vision. Where there is no God-inspired vision, where there is no picture of the future God has bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. How many of you know when Jesus went to Calvary, he paid for a better future for you? Amen? So here's the deal. If I leave that laying there, that doesn't show him much gratitude for what he's done for me. It's not just a get out of hell card getting punched. Fair enough? He saved me from something, but he also saved me for something. And that's what we call redemptive purpose. Somebody say redemptive purpose. Now, that's your mind. Now let's move down to your heart, because there's a progression here. From your mind to your heart. Your heart is what you believe. Romans 10:10 shows us that. For with the heart one believes. With the heart one believes. What is your believer? Your heart. With the heart one believes. You don't believe with your mind, you believe with your heart. What do you believe with? What do you believe with? What do you believe with? For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness. Very important. So the address for our faith is our heart. The container of our faith is our heart. I believe that's why Proverbs 4:23 says that we're to guard our heart, for out of it stem forth the issues of life. It's critical that we guard what it is we believe. Faith lives in your heart, not in your head. That's why I tell you all the time, this is not a book club. Please don't just come here and be amused by a good message or good music or whatever. That's dangerous. This is a message that is alive that we must allow to move from our head to our heart. I'm not looking for something new. If you're sitting there today saying, I've heard that. What you should be saying is, am I living that? Am I applying that? How am I growing in that? How is me living in that making the other people around me's life better? Because there's nothing new under the sun, and you're going to hear it all over and over and over. So we're not looking for something new. That's dangerous, especially in the last days. We're not running around looking for a new teaching. Jesus Christ is the ultimate revelation, and y'all already got it. So let's start living and walking in that. True depth is application of the simple. Start living what you already know, and I promise you deeper things of God will come with it. That's free. Proverbs 3:5 shows us that faith is in your heart, not in your head. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In other words, you can't be led by your head. You got to trust God, trust his faith, trust him with all your heart. We trust God with our heart, not with our head. Some of you are trying to figure out the troubles you're facing right now. God says to you today, trust in me with all your heart. Trust me and lean not on your own understanding. Don't try to figure it out. He's got it in his hands. So we've established the address of faith. It's in our heart. But the question is, how does faith get there? How is it communicated? Romans 10:17 answers this for us. And it says this. So then faith comes. Somebody say faith comes. Now if I say come, which way is something moving? Toward me or away from me? Toward me. I got a dog named Fifi. It is a teacup poodle. Y'all don't laugh at me. It's Zoe's dog. Don't judge. If I say, Fifi, come, is she running away or toward me? No, y'all don't know her. She's running away. Faith comes how? By hearing. And hearing by what? So there's a principle here in the first part of this verse that I want you to see that you might not have ever seen before. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Well, faith is very simply what I believe, all right? If I have faith in something, I believe in it. So what I believe comes by hearing. In other words, what I believe comes from what I hear. Ding, ding, ding. Some of y'all are starting to realize why you have such a negative image of yourself, because you had certain things pounded in over and over and over, day after day, month after month, year after year, and that's why you feel so low. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing. It's what you hear over and over and over that is producing what you believe on the inside. The voice you hear will determine what you believe. And there are four voices that form your faith. Four voices that can form your faith. You choose from one of these four. There are only four options, and here they are. Number one, your faith will be formed by the voice of God. Or number two, it will be formed by the voice of others. You will determine what you believe because of what others have said to you. Number three, the voice of the devil. How many of you know he's constantly whispering? The Bible calls those the fiery darts that he uses against us, but we can extinguish all of them with the shield of what? Faith. And then the fourth one is the voice of yourself, your own voice. Now, here's a saying I love. People don't believe what you tell them. They rarely believe what you show them. They often believe what their friends tell them, but they always believe what they tell themselves. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It's talking about what a person believes. It's talking about the fact that I believe, I become what I believe. That's very important. I become what I believe. Let me say that again. I become what I believe, which is critical for us to understand, because who I listen to determines what I believe. So if you are not listening to the voice of God, you will become something other than what God created you to be. Is everybody with me today? I know you got to do a little more chewing today, so that's okay. So if I listen to what other people say, then I become what other people want me to be. Some people here in that boat today. If I listen to what the enemy says, then I become what the enemy wants me to be. I've been there before. Amen? If I listen to what I say, man, my thoughts can get dark pretty quick about me. I don't know about y'all, but my mind can be a crazy place. Your mind is a wild animal, and you got to keep it in a steel trap. 2 Corinthians 10, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It's like a wild tiger. You got to cage that thing. Say, no, we're not going to think that. We're going to think this. Or I can listen to God's voice, and I can become what God wants me to be. How many of you want that? Come on, give him praise today. All right, so what you believe will determine what's possible. Very important. What you believe will determine what's possible in your life. I'll say it again. What you believe will determine what's possible. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said it like this. If you can, somebody say, I can. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. I love that scripture. That's very empowering, isn't it? Well, thank God for all three of you who believe Jesus. Does that empower anybody? If you can believe, all things are possible. That's who we are. All right, if you can, somebody say, I can. Now let's work that equation backwards. If you can't believe, nothing is possible. Ever think about it that way? What I believe will determine what is possible. That's why it's critical that I think right, because right thinking determines right believing. Right believing begins with right thinking. Right thinking comes from God's thoughts, all right? So we've moved from our mind, what we think, our heart, what we believe. Let's go to the last one. Let's go to our mouth, what you say. Somebody say, look out. What you say. Your words are a reflection of what's in your heart. You know that today? Your words, what's coming out of your mouth, just reveals what's on the inside of you. Words are fruit, not root. Make sense? Okay.
So when you hear somebody who's got messed up words, then you're looking at a symptom, not a source. And let me show you where I find this in the Bible. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Jesus says it like this. He says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What overflows from your heart comes out your mouth. Better think about that for a minute. There might have been some words that came out of your mouth this week that you would hope to God are certainly not in your heart. Amen? That's why when those type of things come out of our mouth, we should stop right there and say, "God, forgive me not only for what I said, but remove that from my heart. I don't want that in my heart." So for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So your words are a reflection of what's in your heart. Now, let's go a step farther. Your words can also draw out the good or the bad from your heart. Your heart is a well, the Bible says. Somebody say a well. Y'all know what I mean. W-E-L-L. Let me help you since I kind of say it funny. A well. Like a water well. And back in the day, they would have to, Jason, draw water up out of that well using a bucket or a cistern or some other way. And they would draw that water up and they would bring it out so that they could share it. Well, that's the imagery that Jesus is using when he talks about this. And he says in verse 35, the very next verse, he says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." The very next thing he says is, "A good man." How many of you are believers today? Say, "I'm a good man," or "a good woman." If you're confused about which one is what, we'll help you at the end of service. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things." Now, the word treasure is deposit. A good man out of the good deposit of his heart. Now, remember, I have the DNA of Christ. When I've been born again, old things passed away. All things became new. God gave me a new heart. He didn't give me a new hairdo. Although some of you might have got a new hairdo after you got a new heart. I don't know. But think about this. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart, God has deposited things in your heart that are good. Let me try that again. God has put things in your heart, believer, that are good. Y'all believe that? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth those good things. He brings out that good deposit. Now he watch. I love that Jesus speaks to both. You can't speak to one and not the other. He says, "And an evil man out of the evil treasure, the evil deposit, brings forth evil things." So I have the ability to bring forth good or bad. That's why Proverbs 18 says, "Life and death is in the power of the tongue," both. And you determine which one you're using every time you choose your word. You determine what you're bringing out. Can I tell you God has put dreams in your heart? Can I tell you God has put a vision in your heart? Can I tell you that God has put purposes in your heart that he needs and desires, and that heaven is counting on you to grow into and accomplish, to reach other people with the love of Jesus Christ, that you may not ever even have to preach a message to them. They might just see Jesus in you from the way you work. They might see Jesus in you from the way you handle somebody who's rude to you. And heaven is counting on us to become that divine deposit that God has put on the inside of you. And so when we choose our words, we're bringing that thing out and we're speaking that thing to life. Your words are framing your world. Hebrews 11 verse 3. "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible." Your words are determining the direction of your life. James said they're like a bit in a horse's mouth. They're like a rudder on a ship. They're like the steering wheel you used on your car to get here this morning. And every time you choose your words, it's pointing you in a direction. Can I tell you, church, that what you think determines what you believe, and what you believe determines what you say, and what you say out of the abundance of your heart is determining the direction of your life. There ought to be a revelation in your heart today of some things that need to change, because I know you want one thing on the inside, but you're headed in another direction, and the Holy Spirit is here to say there is a way to take control and start moving in the direction of God. It's time to think about yourself the way God thinks about you. That only comes one way right here. It's time to start seeing yourself the way God sees you. It's time to start saying about yourself what God says about you. Don't say about yourself what other people have said. Say what God says about you. Say, I'm a victor and not a victim. Say, I'm a believer and not a beggar. Say, I'm adopted and not abandoned. I'm accepted and not rejected. I'm an overcomer and not an outcast. I'm forgiven and not forgotten. I'm going over and not going under. I'm the head and not the tail. I am blessed and highly favored. I've got the helper and I can't be helpless. I'm created to reign. I'm free. I'm family and I'm forgiven. Come on, give him praise. Believe it. Stay standing with me. See, God sees past where you are to the potential he deposited in you. He sees the blueprint. He knows exactly where he wants to take you. I want you to lift both hands as a sign of surrender and say, Father, take me there. Make me who you created me to be. Help me to become everything Jesus bought and paid for. I thank you now that you will finish the good work you began in me. Come on, give God praise today that he's doing it. Just finish by saying this. I got to save a little something in the tank for next service. Y'all pray for me. You can hear it's going. Potential cries out to you from the future. Potential is everything you can be but have not yet become. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I am complete in Christ Jesus. I have everything I need because of what Jesus has done for me. And Jeff, potential is crying out to you from your future. And it's saying to you today, you can do it. You can be it. You can make it. You can make a difference. You can change your world. You can build the dream God has deposited on the inside of your heart. But don't give up and don't quit and don't look back and don't let go, because I'm going to see you all the way through. Keep reaching. Keep reaching. Potential is God's gift to us. What do we do with it is our gift to him. I refuse to go to my grave with regrets. I want to be able to stand before him and say, God, everything I possibly could do, I gave you the best of me because that's what you gave me. Father, I thank you today for your word. Father, I ask today that you would change and shape the way we think. I pray, God, that we would be more passionate and more hungry for your word than we ever have been before. And as we put ourselves in front of your voice daily, I thank you that it's changing what we believe. I thank you that it's changing the way we look at life. I thank you that impossible things are now becoming possible to us. All of a sudden, things that look like mountains now look like molehills compared to you. I thank you, God, that out of what we believe, we're automatically, it's just overflowing from our heart and coming out of our mouth. And we're speaking in the direction that you want us to go. We're speaking life, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, that you have ordained a future for us. I thank you that you know the plans you have for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a future, God, and a hope. And Father, we can't wait for what that holds. And we just give you thanks and praise for who you are today. I apply the blood of Jesus over every heart, over every home, over every marriage, over every individual, over our destinies. Father, let us walk in your perfect will every single day of our lives. Father, we give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and we ask it. And all God's people said, I love you so much. Thank you for worshiping with us today. If you need prayer in any area of your life, our prayer team will be down front waiting for you. We're going to leave with a shout. How about a hallelujah on three? One, two, three. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.